This news story was written by Danielle Paquette. They're coming after you, Trump says. But who are they? They are faceless. They are implied. They are the amorphous core of TikTok conspiracy theories. They are to blame for almost everything, according to Donald Trump. Four letters, one syllable, everywhere and undefined. They, Donald Trump says, want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. They are not coming after me, the Republican nominee stresses in a campaign ad. They're coming after you. They loom large in Trump world speeches, unlatching a Pandora's box of interpretations. They are faceless. They are implied. They are the amorphous core of TikTok conspiracy theories. They are to blame for Trump's business troubles, legal woes, criminal cases, and 34 felony convictions, his allies assert, as well as two separate assassination attempts, one of which was staged by a registered Republican. They try to jail him, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, Republican, posted on X. They try to kill him, to some MAGA backers like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican Georgia. They are capable of summoning hurricanes. Others hear shorthand for elite puppeteers, the political establishment, the deep state. Trump's critics detect something else, a fantasy scapegoat seeding doubt in American institutions. In interviews with the Washington Post, several right-leaning voters recalled trusting the FBI, for instance, before the drumbeat of they. Who are they, exactly? Trump hasn't supplied specifics. His campaign's national press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, responded to the Post's inquiries with one word: Democrats. Pressed for details, she did not respond. They turns political rivals into villains. They are an appealing punching bag for those who feel dispossessed, said Carl Sims, a linguist and senior lecturer in the University of Liverpool's Department of English, who has analyzed Trump's verbal habits. By pointing to a nebulous entity, he said, Trump scores relatability points among fans distressed by hardships they see as unfair, while absolving them and himself of responsibility for any missteps. For listeners, he said, that allows their imaginations to run away from them without any kind of check on that. Us versus them narratives are nothing new in American politics. Among the chief offenders, according to historians, the Red Scare perpetuator, Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy, and four-time Alabama Governor George Wallace, whose brand was bashing the civil rights movement. Both harped on what sociologists refer to as the other. Both alluded to complicit powers that be. Trump, however, has taken it to a new level, said political analyst Jonathan Alter, who has written books on four U.S. presidents, most recently Trump. Neither McCarthy nor Wallace, he said, framed Democrats as an existential threat. Suggesting that the entire other party is evil, Alter said, is an astonishing development. As Trump's courtroom battles intensified, so has his team's jabbing at they, noticed Omar Garcia Ponce, an associate professor of political science and international relations at George Washington University in the nation's capital. They, he said, are whoever people think are threatening America's greatness. While both campaigns have amped up the vitriol, Democrats have painted a more concrete enemy, Garcia Ponce said. Vice President Kamala Harris and her team have laser-focused criticism on Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican Ohio. Not since Hillary Clinton aimed her infamous basket of deplorable zinger toward Trump's base, he said, has a Democratic nominee openly swiped at Republican voters. Clinton later said she regretted her phrasing. Trump alleging that they're coming after you turns political rivals into mortal villains, said John Krosnick, director of the Political Psychology Research Group at Stanford University. And if his followers believe Democrats are trying to kill him, the stage is well set for a public uprising, Krosnick said, pointing to the mob of Trump supporters who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Rioters trying to stop Congress from certifying Joe Biden's victory had erected a makeshift noose and gallows that day on the west front of the Capitol. Some had yelled, "Hang Mike Pence." The chaos had no impact on Trump's tone. "I didn't lose," he told podcaster Joe Rogan last week, "but they say I lost." Relentlessly deploying they weakens the collective ability to tolerate, let alone celebrate, differences, said Laura McHale, a leadership psychologist in Hong Kong who has studied the politics of pronouns. They are the enemy, she said. They could be prosecutors, lawyers, poll workers, librarians, teachers, journalists, immigrants, or a next-door neighbor with a Harris Waltz sign. It's like the Montagues and the Capulets, McHale said, referencing the Shakespearean feud that doomed Romeo and Juliet. After a drumbeat of they, doubts arise. As Election Day nears, Trump surrogates have doubled down on they in speeches reaching hundreds of millions. To Vance, They are darkly powerful, yet consistently incompetent. They couldn't beat him at the ballot box, so they tried to bankrupt him, he told a late August crowd in Asheboro, North Carolina. They failed at that, so they tried to impeach him. They failed at that, so they tried to put him in prison, and they even tried to kill him. Vance, too, was talking about Democrats, Levitt said. Trump advisor Stephen Miller echoed that cadence. They tried to jail him, he proclaimed at Sunday's Madison Square Garden rally. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to imprison him. And they even tried to take his life. They even tried to take his life. Despite loving Trump, 29-year-old Kurt Hunka had initially doubted such claims. Lone psycho had popped into his mind, he said, after a 20-year-old nursing home worker climbed onto a roof overlooking a July rally in western Pennsylvania and opened fire. The shooter, Thomas Matthew Crooks, had been registered as a Republican and lived with his parents. Probably mentally ill, Hunka had guessed. He didn't agree with Vance's assessment that President Joe Biden's rhetoric had directly led to the attack. You've got to blame the individual, the gun seller told the Post at the time. 4 months later, though, Hunka was less sure what to make of the violence that erupted less than a half mile from his family's firearm showroom in Butler, Pennsylvania. More than other politicians, he trusted Trump. It was baffling to him that the FBI still hasn't unearthed a motive for Crooks, who sharpshooters killed on the scene. Yes, investigators told the public that motives are notoriously tricky to pin down, but Trump and a chorus of online sleuths soon drowned them out. Then, a mere 9 weeks after bullets flew at the Butler Farm showgrounds, another rifle-toting man had inched within 500 yards of Trump at the former president's golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida. Neither investigation has identified a single co-conspirator. But now Hunka thought it sounded reasonable when Miller thundered, "They came after his life." To Hunka, "they" means the political establishment. Trump rolled in 9 years ago to smash up that club of Washington careerists, Hunka said. "They never got over it," he said. "They want to stop him. Would they try to kill him?" "Honest to God," Hunka said, "I don't know what the government is capable of anymore. They are not pushing her to vote." Sometimes, "they" are more spelled out. Like in a 30-second Trump spot slamming Harris's support of access to gender-affirming care for prisoners, Kamala's agenda is "they, them, not you." Or during the last presidential debate, when Trump mischaracterized Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. "They're eating the dogs," he said. "They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there." Local officials repeatedly debunked those accusations, and the city manager reiterated that Haitians settled legally in Springfield. Yet 53-year-old Philomene Philostène worried that no amount of fact-checking would curb the rage blasting her community of nearly 60,000. "I've never seen anything like it," said the convenience store manager, who moved to the United States from Haiti 3 decades ago. Springfield recorded 33 bomb threats in the 6 days following Trump's remarks. All hoaxes, Ohio's governor reported. Elementary schools were evacuated. Friends started making plans to move to nearby Columbus, she said, hoping to escape a harrowing spotlight. Personally, she refused to budge. She paid taxes. She went to church. She loved to sing and had built her own recording studio. She laughed at the idea that anyone she knew was snacking on pets. "Trump is playing into fears," Philistine said. "Fears like the racist theory she'd seen on the internet that some shadowy elites are enabling a flow of obedient Democrat-supporting foreigners." "Our elections are bad," Trump had said in the debate. "And a lot of these illegal immigrants coming in, they're trying to get them to vote." "They are not pushing her to vote," Philistine insisted. "As a U.S. citizen, she would decide her own ballot." "I am the one," she said, "telling people to vote, vote, vote. Are they heroes or corrupt?" Up in northeastern Wisconsin, Dennis Statz mulled his evolving view of the good guys. As a boy, the owner of the White Lace Inn Bed and Breakfast in Sturgeon Bay rooted for television actors playing FBI agents. Those were the heroes. "I don't want to say they were godlike," he said, "but I had a ton of respect for them." That admiration stayed with him as his brown hair turned gray. Then Trump scrambled his perception. To Statz, 70, the investigations into the former president seemed perplexingly excessive. A right-leaning independent, he'd long derided the federal government as too bloated. "And all it has done," he said, "is get bigger and bigger." He'd been disturbed to learn in February that a New York judge had ordered Trump to pay more than $350 million, plus interest, as a punishment for inflating the value of his assets to secure lower interest rates and insurance costs. Trump's attorneys have denied those charges and are fighting the judgment. Did Trump fudge his numbers? Stats couldn't be sure. When the bed and breakfast proprietor bought his Victorian mansion in 1982, he'd sure hoped for the highest possible appraisal, while praying for the lowest possible tax assessment. Didn't every savvy businessman, he wondered, angle for those sorts of conflicting goals? Do I think Trump is being politically persecuted? I absolutely do, Stats said. They wouldn't be pursuing some of that stuff if it wasn't him. Who is they to him? A few years ago, I never would have said this, he said, but the term deep state has taken on significant meaning to me. He is sad to lose faith in symbols of American pride. Maybe corruption infected the younger generations of leadership. Maybe the heroes of yesteryear are concocting phony charges, he said, or whatever forms of sabotage Trump is implying.